Talk to you a little bit this morning about opportunities that are lost. Sometimes when we look at our life, we'll say, well, I wish I had done that. You look back and you think about all the opportunities you may have had to do something, but you didn't do it for whatever reason. Maybe you were impeded by something. It was not really anything you could deal with. Maybe you had no control over it. But you look back and you think about there were opportunities, there were things I could have done, and I didn't do it. Well, the Bible talks about that. It talks about opportunities we have, and sometimes they're lost, and I want to talk about the reasons that happens. Why sometimes spiritual opportunities are lost. In Jeremiah, the 8th chapter and verse 20, Jeremiah is talking about that, or God is, way back there in the Old Testament. He talks about that. But let's look at some of them that we want to talk about this morning. We're basically going to look at the New Testament. The reason some opportunities are lost in the spiritual realm is just simply because we don't know to do them, or what we'd call ignorance. We may be ignorant of some things. In Luke, the 12th chapter and verse 39, Jesus speaking said, "Know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be taken." And that's true, isn't it? If we knew a thief was coming to break into our house at a certain time, we'd have the police there. We might have ourselves armed or whatever it is, we would make sure that that didn't happen. But the reason it happens sometimes, because we're away from home, we didn't know it was going to happen. And so ignorance sometimes causes us to lose opportunities. We didn't have an opportunity to take care of our house. We didn't have an opportunity to keep it secure because we weren't home at that particular time. Well, the same thing is true in the spiritual realm, and that's what Jesus is trying to get his disciples to realize in Luke 12, that it may very well be that the reason you are not taking care of yourself is because you don't know. And the reason he's saying this is you need to know the things that will keep you spiritually secure. In Acts 3 and verse 19, the apostle Peter is speaking, says, "Brethren," he's speaking to the Jews, and he says, "I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers." The point about this, if they had known, they would have not have crucified the Lord of glory. That's basically what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2. If they had known, they would not have done this. So ignorance sometimes causes us to make decisions that later on we say, I would not have made had I known. So opportunities are lost oftentimes in the spiritual realm because we're just simply ignorant of what we ought to do. And the reason the Jews crucified the Lord is because they were ignorant. They believed other things that were said to them. They believed their leaders, what the leaders said to them. They believed what the mob said to them. And they accepted that, and they did that which was in ignorance. They crucified Christ. But another way that we lose opportunities is sometimes we're just simply deceived. And I agree that this works also with the one we just talked about, the ignorance of the Jews because they were deceived. But in Luke 12 and verse 49, verse 45, when Jesus was speaking in Luke 12 and verse 45 and 46, he said, "If a servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, the master of that servant will come in a day when he's not looking for him." Well, why is he not looking for him? Because he's been deceived in thinking the master's not coming. One of the things the Apostle Peter taught when he was writing one of the books that bears his name is, the reason that a lot of people continue to do the things they were doing is because the world still existed. It hadn't stopped existing. So they thought it's going to last forever. And we've seen this in the physical realm where people buy something. Maybe they buy a stock because it's really high at that time. And the idea is it's always going to be that way. But all of a sudden, the bottom falls out of it. And they've been self-deceived. In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3, Paul was speaking, said, "I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds might be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Eve was deceived. You'll be like God. You'll know good and evil. What the devil said to her, the serpent said to her. He deceived her in his craft. He was a very crafty person. And he deceived her in saying those things. Well, sometimes people lose opportunities, and certainly even Adam and Eve lost the opportunity of staying in the Garden of Eden, didn't they? Because she was deceived. In Hebrews 3 and verse 13, the Hebrew writer now is writing to the Hebrew Jews, and he says, "Exhort one another while it's called a day, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You see, sin deceives us. The reason people engage in sin most of the time is because it feels good. And the old expression, if it feels good, do it, used to be a very popular expression. The idea is, if people continue in sin, it's going to feel good. And we ought to feel good about ourselves all the time. So whatever makes us feel good, that's what we ought to do. Well, that's deception, folks. Because the end result of that is death. That's what Paul said, Romans 6. The wages of sin is death. So why are opportunities lost? Well, one reason is because of ignorance. Another reason is because of deception. And a third reason is because sometimes we just neglect what we ought to do. It's not that we're ignorant of what we ought to do. It's not even that we have been deceived by someone to do something else. It's just that we know what we ought to do, but we don't get around to doing it. That happens sometimes, doesn't it, in the physical realm. Yesterday I looked at our grandfather clock and I noticed that one of the bars was all the way down to the bottom. Almost all the way down to the bottom, and I thought, I need to take care of that. Well, I'll do it later. This morning I got up and it was all the way in the bottom. And it's hard to wind that thing sometimes when it's in the bottom. That's what you call neglect. It wasn't that I didn't know what I needed to do. I just neglected doing it. And we do that sometimes in life, don't we? I need to clean out the garage today. Okay, I'll do it later. I'll do it later. Something gets in the way, we forget about it, we don't do it, and it gets worse. We neglected doing it. Pay me now or pay me later is a pretty good statement that's made today by some individuals. I need to change the oil in my car. And we drive it another 4,000 or 5,000 miles and haven't changed it yet, and then we start having trouble because we didn't change the oil when we should. That's neglect. It's not that we don't know we should. Well, that's true in the spiritual realm too. Neglection causes sometimes people to do something that they otherwise would do because they're just neglecting. In Joshua 18, verse 3, Joshua was speaking to the children of Israel, and he said to them, "How long will you neglect to go and possess the land which the Lord your God and your fathers has given you?" The Lord God of your fathers, he's given you this. How long are you going to wait before you do it? Well, they were waiting. They had all kinds of excuses, and they were waiting. They knew they should have. So what Joshua says, how long are you going to wait? He's trying to get them to think, you need to do it now. In Hebrews 2 and verse 3, the apostle writing the Hebrews said, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation?" The point is, it's not that we don't know we ought to do this, but how do we think we'll escape if we don't do it? What's the end result of not obeying the gospel? What's the end result of not turning from sin? What's the end result of not doing what Jesus tells us to do when he says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved"? What's the end result of neglecting that? Well, if we neglect it till the day we die, the end result is eternal damnation. Because that's what Jesus said. He said, "He that believeth not shall be damned." That's what he said. So sometimes we neglect things, don't we? When we know we ought to be doing, we have to be very careful in the spiritual realm. We don't neglect anything. Well, another reason that sometimes opportunity is lost is because they don't seem to be convenient. It's not convenient. We're busy doing something else. Here's a father who says, "I've got to make a living for my family." So he doesn't have time for his children. He does a lot of other things. He's wrapped up maybe in other things. And maybe the mother, too. She's working out of the home. She doesn't have time. And I'm not saying that every mother works out of the home doesn't have time for their children. Don't misunderstand. But the fact is, sometimes we get so wrapped up in making a living, we get so wrapped up in the world, that we forget to do the things we ought to do. And we say, when someone asks about, "Well, it's just not, this isn't the right time to do it." Have you ever heard that? This isn't the right time. We don't usually say it's not convenient. But that term was used in the Bible, wasn't it? It was used in the Bible. In Hebrews 2 and verse 3, we're told, "How shall we neglect?" And then in Acts 24 and verse 25, Paul was reasoning with Felix. He was reasoning with Felix about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. And Felix was terrified, we heard about it. He knew all that was so. And his answer was, "Go away for now, and when I have a convenient season, I will call you." Or if you have the newer translation, it says, "When I have a convenient time, I will call for you." That's what Felix said. He knew he ought to. He was terrified about the fact that there's going to be a judgment. He understood that. He understood he ought to practice righteousness. He understood self-control. He wasn't practicing any of those things because it was not convenient. And sometimes we lose opportunities because it's not convenient. And as far as Felix is concerned, we don't ever read anywhere that Felix ever obeyed the gospel. It never became convenient for him because he was wrapped up in all this. And that happens sometimes today. We get wrapped up so much in the world, like in sports or whatever it might be, in work or whatever it is. We get so wrapped up in those things that we don't have time to serve the Lord. We have to be careful about that. And we lose opportunities to serve the Lord. Well, another reason that sometimes we lose opportunities is because of covetousness or being covetous. In Acts 24 and verse 26, Paul is speaking about Felix again, or at least Luke is recording about Felix. Remember, Felix said, "I don't have convenient time, and when I do, I'll call you." Well, in this passage, we're told that Felix hoped that money would be given to him. That's one of the reasons it was never convenient. He hoped that money would be given to him. So he hoped that Paul would give him this money. And so he wanted to release him, but he wasn't going to release him unless he got some money. Therefore, the Bible says he sent for him more often and conversed with him. It just wasn't convenient because he was covetous. He wanted money. Now, this makes it even worse, folks. He was terrified about the fact he was guilty of sin, but even made it worse because he was so covetous, he wanted money from Paul. He knew he should turn him loose. He knew Paul wasn't guilty of anything. And he lost the opportunity not only to obey the gospel, but to do the right thing of turning the apostle Paul loose. In Matthew 19, verses 21 and 22, Jesus is the one speaking. And he's speaking to this young man who has a lot of worldly possessions. And he says, if you want to be perfect, actually the young man asked the Lord what he needed to do. You want to know what he needed to do to receive the kingdom of heaven or eternal life. And the Lord's answer to him was, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have. Give it to the poor and you'll have treasure in heaven. And then you can come and follow me. But when the young man heard this saying, Scripture says he went away sorrowful. For he was one who had great possessions, or if you have the older term, many possessions or much possessions. He had possessions, he didn't want to sell them. Jesus is not really saying here that you've got to sell everything, you've got to be a pauper, and you've got to go hungry. What he's saying is you've got to realize that your riches are not the most important thing. So sell what you have, give to the poor. Give what you can to the poor. You think about coming and follow me, and I'll take care of you. You won't be poor with me. That's basically what Jesus is saying. But the possession meant so much to this young man that he went away sorrowful. He wasn't willing to give them up. He was covetous for possessions. He wanted to continue to have his possessions. Why do we lose opportunities? Well, sometimes it's because of fear. We're afraid. Felix was afraid, very afraid. He was terrified. But in Matthew 25 and verse 25, we read about someone who said, I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the earth. This is the one talent man, isn't it? Jesus told a story about a master giving 5 talents to one of his servants, 2 talents to another, and 1 to another. And when the master came back, the 5-talent man had used his talents and garnered other 5 talents. 2-talent man had used his talents, but the one talent man hid it in the earth. He said, I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, you have what's yours. But he didn't use it. And the Lord said, you're a wicked and slothful. And the word slothful means lazy. You're lazy. You should have put it to the bankers, and I would have received back mine own with interest, what the Lord said. Look at John 7 and verse 13. Here are the disciples, or here are some of the Jews that knew who God was, knew who Jesus was, rather. They knew he was the Son of God. They believed all of that, but the Scripture says no one spoke openly of him for the fear of the Jews. They were afraid. The fear kept them from doing what they should have done, and that does sometimes. Somebody fears if he speaks out against what's wrong, he'll lose his job, so he doesn't speak out. in the physical sphere. These people in the spiritual realm, though, they knew who Jesus Christ was. They knew they should follow him, but they were feared. In fact, in another place, we're told, nevertheless, because of the Pharisees, they would not confess him, for they loved the glory of men more than they loved the glory of God. They wouldn't confess Jesus because they wanted the praise of men or glory of men more than they wanted the praise of God. Fear causes us sometimes not to do what we ought to do. And we lose opportunities because we're afraid. Here's an opportunity in the physical realm. Maybe here's some opportunity we could be a part of. You could be a part of this and you'll be set for life, or it'll take care of you the rest of your life, and we don't do it. We look back and say we should have. Why didn't we do it? We're afraid it'll go under. We're afraid it won't work. We're afraid to take a chance. We're afraid to look to the future. And that happens a lot of times. We're afraid to do it. It happens with football teams sometimes. The quarterback freezes up when he knows what the play ought to be, and he doesn't go through with the play and the action because he's afraid that he'll throw an interception. Sometimes you'll hear a coach say, I'm trying to get him to read his the plays out there, read them, read the players that he's got, and accept the fact that those players can do what they ought to do, and trust his wide receivers and throw the ball. And sometimes they don't do it because they're afraid they'll throw an interception. If they throw enough of them, they're benched. So they don't want to be benched. And yet here's another quarterback that's kind of like a gunslinger, and he throws it all the time. He might have one intercepted every once in a while, but most of them are caught, and he usually wins the game. And that's the difference. Fear causes us not to do some things, though, in the realm of the spiritual that we ought to do. It caused the one talent man to do that. Well, what's another one? Hardness of heart. We lose opportunities and they become lost to us because of the hardness of heart. Matthew 13, verse 15, Jesus speaking said, the hearts of this people have grown dull. He said, their ears are hard of hearing. Their eyes they have closed. Why? Lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and I should heal them. They've closed their hearts because they really don't think, they don't understand I can heal them if they'll open up their heart. In Hebrews 3, verses 7 and 8, the Hebrew writer said, the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of the testing of the desert. Don't harden your hearts. If you'll hear His voice, don't harden your heart. When he's talking about hearing his voice, he's not just talking about hearing the words. He's talking about doing something with them. Listening and then applying them to your life. In Mark 6 and verse 52, Jesus was speaking to a group of people. The Bible says they had not understood. Why did they not understand the things that Jesus told them? Why did they not understand those things? Because their heart was hardened. Their heart was hardened. The same thing is true about John the Baptist. When John the Baptist came, some people did not listen to him because their heart was hardened. And they didn't listen. So the opportunity there was lost because their heart was hardened. Well, sometimes it's just a matter of unbelief. I'm just not going to believe it. It's just unbelief, and we lose opportunities. And even in this physical realm, sometimes we'll say, well, I thought this, and I've learned that I was wrong. I wish I hadn't thought that at that time. Maybe I would have done something different. And I'm never going to do that again because I know better now. The reason I did that is because I didn't believe the right at the time. For whatever reason, I didn't accept what's right. In Mark 16, verse 16, I've used this passage already, but Jesus said, he that does not do it, he that does not believe, he that doesn't listen to me, however you want to put it, shall be condemned. Or one translation says damned. That's what Jesus said. He said, go into all the world to the apostles and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. If you don't believe that, he said, you'll be damned. So unbelief sometimes keeps us from doing. Well, I don't believe you have to be baptized. A lot of our friends will tell us that. But Jesus said that, didn't he? And who do we rather listen to? Well, I've asked that question a few times. I asked it of a young person one time. He said, I'd rather listen to my friends. And I said, that's obvious because you're not doing what the Lord tells you to do. But should we rather listen to our friends than the Lord? If we're really interested in heaven, who should we really listen to? Jesus said, if you don't believe, you'll be condemned. That's what Jesus said. I'm going to believe Him. Since He's the judge of mankind, since He's going to judge me in the final analysis, He's the one who's going to tell me to either come to me, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom, or He's going to say, depart from me, cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. In Hebrews 3, verses 12 and verse 19, the Hebrew writer said, beware, brethren. Be on the alert. Be aware of something, lest there be any of you having an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. You see, if we have an evil heart of unbelief, we depart from the living God. You can't go to heaven away from God. You just can't. And he went ahead to say in verse 19, we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. They couldn't enter into the rest of God. They couldn't enter into the promised land because of unbelief. That's what he's talking about there. They couldn't enter in. So unbelief causes a lot of people not to go to heaven. It could cause me if I say the Bible doesn't really say that. Been interesting to me here lately, some preachers who tell us that certain passages don't mean what they say. Jesus did not mean that. Paul didn't mean that. He meant something else. Trying to convince people that you don't have to believe that. Well, let's just believe what Paul said, because he's speaking as he has the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 16. Let's just believe what Jesus said. We're pretty good company when we do what the Lord said, when we believe what he says. When he tells us something and we stand at the same place the Lord stands, we're in pretty good company, folks, because the Lord said that. Well, another reason that people don't sometimes is because they want the praise of men. I've already talked about that in John 12. They love the praise or glory of men more than they love the praise or glory of God. And sometimes when we've talked about this a little bit, it's because of worldly pleasures. In 2 Timothy 3, Paul is telling Timothy that there's going to be something happen in the last days. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, and lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. So we can put pleasure, as I said a while ago, we can put that in the place of God. In 1 Timothy 5 and verse 6, the Apostle Paul was talking about widows. And a widow who had not done some of the things they ought to do. And he says she lives in pleasure. And he said when she lives in pleasure, she's dead while she lives. That's what he said. Well, she wasn't dead physically. He's talking about the fact that she was dead spiritually. So what must we do in order that we don't lose our opportunities? Well, let's look at some passages. In Hebrews 11, verse 24, the Hebrew writer said, talking about faith, here's an example of what we ought to do. Moses, when he came of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming, why did he do that? Because he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked for the reward. What's he doing? He's got his eyes fixed on heaven. Like the Hebrew writer said, we ought to be. Fix our eyes on Jesus, which means we fix our eyes on heaven because that's where he is. So what happened? Moses thought more about the reward he was going to receive from God than he did the pleasures of sin for a season, or even being called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And that's what we ought to do. We need to put God first. Isn't that what the New Testament says? Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you. Isn't that what Jesus said we ought to do? In 1 Timothy 4 and verse 16, Paul was speaking to this young gospel preacher and he said, take heed to yourself, Timothy, and to your doctrine. Continue in this doctrine. Continue in them, he says, for in doing this you will both save yourself and them that hear you. Take heed to yourself. You're going to save yourself if you take heed. Be alert. Be on the watch. Watch out for yourself, your soul. In 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8, Paul talks about himself and he talks about us. He says there that we ought to fight the good fight. We ought to finish the course. We ought to finish the race, we ought to keep the faith, he says. And the reason is because there's laid up for us a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me, he said, talking about himself in that day, but also to all those who love his appearing. So he's not only talking about himself, what he must do, he's talking about what we must do also. So we need to be careful, don't we? What must we do? Well, if you ask me, what must I do to go to heaven? The first thing I tell you is you need to obey the gospel. Isn't that what those people did on the day of Pentecost? Didn't they say, men and brethren, what must we do? I think that's what they said in Acts 2. What must we do? And Peter told them, repent, be baptized, what for? For the remission of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And with many other words, he testified and said to them, exhorted them, save yourselves. Do it. Save yourselves. The Bible says when they gladly received the word, they were baptized. They listened to him. They were baptized, and the Lord added unto them those that were saved. Or one translation says, those that were being saved. And that's what we have to do. What must we do? Let's not lose the opportunity. Let's obey the gospel while we still have the opportunity. And then let's be faithful the rest of the days we live, and we'll receive the crown of life. That's what Jesus said in Revelation 2 and verse 10. So all those things are ours. Let's don't lose the opportunities we have before Almighty God. The question is, when Jesus comes again, will he find us watching? He's going to come to reward his servants. Will we be one of those that gets the reward? Can we say we're ready? Ready for the soul's bride home? That would be heaven, wouldn't it? Will he find you and me still watching, waiting when the Lord shall come? Will he? That's the song we're about to sing. You answer that in your heart. And if I can help you in any way get to heaven, will you let me?